Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen. Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
You may or may not have seen this week a story that came across the local Cape Cod news networks about a young girl in Buzzards Bay who was nearly abducted as she was walking to her bus stop. She was 14 years old, and as the mother of a 14-year-old, this definitely fired up some fear in my heart. But interestingly enough, the source of that fear was not just worry for my own children in a world that can feel dangerous. But almost instantly, I found myself remembering 20 years ago when I lived in Charlottesville, Virginia as a graduate student. There's a highway between Washington, D.C., it goes further north, but between D.C. and the south that runs through Charlottesville called Route 29. And there were a series of abductions that took place on Route 29 during 1996, and actually extending until 2014. There have been 9 young women who were abducted along that corridor. The first woman was a woman named Alicia Showalter Reynolds, who was a graduate at Johns Hopkins University, driving to Charlottesville to spend some time with her mother, and she was never seen again. She was exactly my age and a graduate student, and I drove that road a lot for a variety of different reasons. And in hearing the story of this near abduction of this little girl in Buzzards Bay, it was extraordinary to me to feel the power of those fears come flooding through me again. At the time, back in 1996, Alicia was the first woman who was abducted, and there were 3 more in that year of 1996. So that fear was a very real fear. There was obviously something terrible that was happening. But intellectually, I could say there are thousands upon thousands of people who travel that highway on an hourly basis, let alone daily and weekly. The odds that I would be abducted were 0, practically. But the fear that was engendered in thinking about the possibilities was, there were a couple trips I was supposed to make to DC that I did not take during that period of time. I find in our cultural milieu now that the same kind of fears are gripping so many people. There are very real threats and possibilities of harm that are present in our culture now and have been present for many, many years. It feels like such a fearful place to live. And certainly the level of anxiety and worry in our culture has ramped up intensely in the last few weeks. But I suggest that it has been there under the surface for many, many years. People worried about their jobs, people worried about their health, people worried about their lifestyle, fear for themselves, fear for their loved ones, fear for the state of our community, of our nation. The fears that we are all living in now have been exponentially magnified because of the presence and the power of the media. And because there are some people, a small portion of our nation, who are experiencing very difficult, very hard times in their lives right now. This crosses the political spectrum. When somebody is the victim of hate speech, nobody stops and says to them, "Hey, are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican?" before I insult you. That's not the way it works. When a woman experiences discrimination in the workplace, nobody stops to say, "Hey, what side are you on?" These powers of evil that come up in our culture have nothing to do with politics and everything to do with politics. The question is, how are we going to respond? We can decide that we are going to camp out on either end of the spectrum and protest and yell at each other, and we will accomplish nothing. Fear is fueling everybody's reaction to what is going on now. It might not look like fear in some places, but at the root of all human mistrust, anger, frustration, hateful activity is fear. Fear for something that it might be difficult to even articulate, but fear. Psalm 46 is a psalm that implores us to trust in God. If you look at the very first line, God is our refuge, our very present help in times of trouble. It can be so difficult to remember that. I've preached on this before. When you find yourself in a place of fear, if you are waiting for medical tests for around yourself and your loved one, the fear is paralyzing. If you are newly widowed or a new widower, the fear of what your life will look like going future can be paralyzing. If there's been a change in your relationships and in your life, your financial fears can be paralyzing. It can be so hard during those times to really hold fast to the knowledge that God is our refuge, our very present help in times of trouble. The amazing thing about this psalm is, even though it professes that fact so clearly, it does not in any way imply that you have to find yourself into a peaceful place, that you need to bring yourself into a sanctuary, or you need to calm yourself down before you can experience God as your refuge and your very present help. All throughout this psalm, God is our strength, our refuge, our protection in the middle of the fear, in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of mountains shaking and melting into the sea, of wars, of enemies, of armies, in the middle of whatever it is that strikes fear in the heart of human beings. God is present. And a very present help. But how do we access that in those times of fear? Psalm 46, verse 10 is one of the most familiar verses. Be still and know that I am God. You see it on tea towels, you see it on garden rocks. There, that verse from the psalm is everywhere. One of the most beautiful explications of that verse and how it applies to our daily lives, I heard offered by Eckhart Tolle, the great New Age spiritual teacher. He had a series of conversations with Oprah Winfrey about one of his books, and he taught about this, this little verse of the psalm there. He points out, and I think that this is so incredibly helpful when we are in those times of fear and chaos in our communities or in our lives. He calls our attention to the fact that all of the words in that verse can actually be synonyms for each other. Be still, know, knowledge, I am, God, all point us back to the eternal presence of the divine. And the reason that that's particularly helpful is, in my experience, when I am experiencing fear of some kind, for example, parenting four children, three almost teenagers, there's a lot of fear about different things. As a single woman, finances are very fearful to me for a variety of different reasons. And when I find myself in that space of fear, it can be too far to go from fear to trust, or from fear to acceptance, or fear to love, whatever we might say the antidote to fear is. But that verse 10 calls us to stillness. the space between fear and stillness isn't quite so great for me. Because stillness can be as simple as the space between your in-breath and your out-breath. Stillness can be quieting yourself for 10 seconds while you're drinking your coffee in the morning. Stillness can come when you look up and are overwhelmed by the beauty of a flock of birds taking off in a sunrise. So it might be too far from us to get from fear to love, but in stillness, we meet the great I am. We find wisdom. We feel God's very real presence, our refuge in that time of trouble. I wrote in the e-news this week about the safety pins. There has been a lot written in social media and in news networks about wearing safety pins. Michael and I had long conversations about this because for me, and I believe for him as well, wearing a safety pin is not primarily a political statement. Wearing a safety pin as a Christian is primarily a statement acknowledging the fear that exists in the world, whatever the cause might be. But more than that, wearing the safety pin for me is a reminder that whether it is in being a safe place for another person who is fearful, who wants to have a conversation, and twice since I've started wearing this, somebody has spoken to me that I didn't know. But for me, this is not just that invitation, but it is a call to stillness. When fearful thoughts, when I see fearful actions, when any component of fear and chaos rise, this safety pin for me, in its message of safety, calls me to stillness. We all live in a time of fear and anxiety. It is only when we take a moment to still ourselves that we have choice and freedom and access to resources, to God's strength, that so far surpass anything that we're facing at the moment. Now here's the weird stewardship turn of this sermon. As I said, finances are a huge fear for me. And if I make decisions about money in a place of fear, I would never even go to the grocery store. It is so easy to feel like there won't be enough money for retirement, there won't be enough money to educate 4 children, there won't be enough money for a new car, there won't be, there won't be, there won't be. When I'm fearful about money, there is never any place close to enough. But when I'm still, when I feel myself grounded in God, my trust that God is present with me, my gratitude for everything that God has poured into my life, overwhelms any tightness, any restriction, any scarcity that I might feel, and allows me to give from that place. I've shared before that over the years, Miles and I had been on a path towards tithing, and it's really easy to consider pulling back from that now. And so in a place of stillness, I decided that the only trusting thing that I can do is increase my pledge. When I make decisions from that place, I'm joyful. Because God is my very present help in any times of trouble, in any times of fear. And any invitation that I have to get still in my own soul and to be a place of stillness for other people brings a tiny bit of the kingdom of God into this extraordinarily broken and hurting world. I hope you will find that stillness. And I hope that you will feel God as your present help in times of trouble. Amen.
Amen.